You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today, we're joined by Dr. Esme Fuller-Thompson, Director of University of Toronto's Institute of Life Course and Aging, who's here to tell us about a recent study. Dr. Fuller-Thompson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the study and your findings, tell us how it came about.
Well, I was just interested in whether climate-related information, for example, temperature or proximity to north-south, might make a difference. I started looking because I was originally thinking vitamin D would be important. And people who are in the south have more vitamin D. And it turned out it was the opposite direction of what I expected, in that people in warmer climates, i.e. southern climates, this is just in what we call the coterminous U.S. This would be the 48 states that are in the lower U.S., not Hawaii, not Alaska, that it turned out the people who are in colder climates were doing way better than people that are farther south and in the warmer climates. And our findings raised way more questions than they answered, but it's an interesting first step to move forward to try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it certainly is. The findings that people in warmer climates tend to severe vision loss as they get older. How do you go about measuring something like that over time?
What we did is we had a very big data set, which is actually part of the a long form of the American Census. And there were 5.3 million older adults. So I restricted the sample to the 1.7 million older adults who lived in the same state in which they were born. So they may have moved out and come back, but generally I was trying to look at lifetime exposure to the temperatures in that state. Most of the states are relatively small from a Canadian perspective, maybe not from a British perspective, but people are having somewhat similar exposure to temperature. Then the next question is, how do I get the average temperature? What we did is we looked at 100-year averages for temperature in each county of the thousands of counties in the states. What's the temperature? And we just took the average for the that county and said, if you lived in that county and you were born in the state where you currently live, what's the risk of having a vision loss? In the UK, do you think in Fahrenheit or do you think in Celsius? Which is easier for you?
We're Celsius all the way.
It turns out that if your county's average temperature across the year, the average temperature is 10 degrees Celsius or below, everyone was doing pretty well vision-wise. And it didn't matter if the average temperature was 10 degrees or 5 degrees or 0 degrees, that everybody was doing fairly consistent. And then there was a very, very steep rise between 10 degrees and 16 degrees Celsius. So, and by the time you got to 16 degrees Celsius, there was 44% higher odds of serious vision problem in older adults if they lived in these warmer counties. And now if it was 16 degrees, 21 degrees, 25 degrees average, it was flat after that. It seems that there's this just really a big difference between the 10 degrees Celsius average temperature and the 16, and then below 10 or above 16, it just showed the same pattern. It's what we call an S-shaped curve. Like, it's just a very steep rise and then it's flat at the top and flat at the bottom. So we're still trying to figure out what that means. I think in my future research, I'm trying to look at, well, maybe it's not just the average temperature. Maybe it's having temperatures below freezing at least 1 month a year that might be helpful. Usually cold temperatures are associated with lower infectious diseases, but serious vision problem is non-infectious. So it's unclear why that would be important. But as I said, we raise way more questions than we could possibly answer, but we're hoping that we can interest other researchers to think about temperature and to start joining us in this venture of what could be going on in the context of the geographic climate in which people are living that may have some impact on vision.
Now, one of the questions that the research does raise is, what's causing this? Now, there's been an awful lot of hyperbole around this, an awful lot of coverage as well. And it seems to be that tabloid newspapers are just jumping on climate change makes you blind.
Yes. Yeah, that's not what I said at all. All I did is I said, okay, what's the average temperature in the county you're currently living in? And what's the average temperature over the last 100 years? And what's your likelihood of having serious vision problems? So I don't know anything about what climate change is going to do. Certainly, if temperatures go up, we certainly should be monitoring vision. We should be monitoring everything if temperatures are going up as they seem to be. But that doesn't, it's certainly what we call causal association. We don't know what the cause is. We don't know, is it temperature or is it something else about the environment? Or is it, I guess, being outside more and having more exposure to sunlight and maybe having more cataracts because of that? We really don't know what's going on, but we can't say anything about climate change making us blind. I guarantee you we cannot say that from this study.
So is that going to be what you're looking into next as to what actually causes this once those temperatures get beyond 10 degrees?
Yeah, as I said, I'm hoping to try and maybe play around with it a little bit and see, is it the extreme hot that's the problem or is it the extreme cold? So I'm going to start looking at the coldest month's average temperature and the hottest month's average temperature. I'm going to try and look at whether precipitation might make a difference. I don't know why it would, but just we really haven't thought about something like a chronic condition like vision problems and what's going on in the immediate geographic area. Because one of my ideas had been, well, maybe poorer people are more vulnerable to hotter weather because most people in the United States have air conditioning in warmer climates. But in 1970s, it was rare. So the new earlier adopters were richer. They would have slept better. So I thought, well, maybe as a lifetime exposure, richer people aren't going to see the same association. But you know, if you had a university degree and you were above 16 degrees Celsius, your risk was 38% higher. If you have less than a high school degree, it was 37% higher. And if you have a high school degree, it's 48% higher. Those are all very similar numbers. So it didn't make any difference. As I said, I don't have any answers, but I certainly found that there seems to be this surprisingly strong association that needs further research.
Well, lots of very exciting avenues of research to go down following this study. But for now, Dr. Esme Fuller-Thompson, Director of University of Toronto's Institute of Life Course and Aging, thank you so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for your interest.